Next Step 397, January 14, 2016. Hey, can you imagine worse odds than the Powerball Lotto? Guess what? We hit two of them in 1 week. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the physical and the emotional and the psychological and everything in between. And I'm inviting you to take this next step and find out about those odds and much more. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, so good to have you with us today. Did you win? Did you win? If you probably won, you're listening to this podcast a few months later, your life is probably just completely changed around. I didn't win. I knew my life was going to be changed around. Last night, my wife said, "Did you check the numbers?" And I said, "No, I want to sleep well tonight. I don't want to think about it. I'll look at it in the morning." But I did check. Yes, I'm talking about the Powerball game. Did you play? $1.5 billion, largest jackpot in the world, not only the North American lotteries, largest jackpot in the world, and the odds of winning 1 in 300 million. So one statistician, one mathematician said the odds of winning are the same whether you play or not, because it's zero odds if you don't play. And if you do play, it's something like point, I think, 8 zeros and a 1. So whatever that is, I mean, it's basically zero odds, you know. So whether you play or not. Yet, people did. I did too, yes. I mean, it's worth a chance, right? Somebody's got to win. That's the logic behind it. And guess what I'm going to talk about today? Not about the lottery. I'm going to talk about something. Well, this is what got me. Just coming up to the lottery, everybody was talking about more things that can happen to you than the lottery. In other words, there's better odds of you getting killed by a vending machine, for instance. Yeah, it's more likely you'll be killed by a vending machine. What, it falls on you, you like get electrocuted, what? But there's better odds than that, than winning the lottery. And people had came up with lists and everything. It got me thinking. I said, yeah, that's true. I could come up with a list myself. But how about the other way? Well, two events happened this week in my life that had worse odds. Worst odds than the lottery. That's what I want to share with you today. Armadoxy. It's worse odds than the lottery, so why do we play it? Because it's fun. Because it's dangerous. You gotta do it. You gotta play it. That's what I'm gonna talk about today, okay? Are you ready for that? Well, before we get there, let me share with you an interesting letter that I got from a listener named Michelle, talking about last week, about that little thing I went into about how we are scared to ask the big questions of God. And I likened it to the questions that sometimes Trump answers here in the United States. The political atmosphere is so wild lately. People don't know what's going on, and there's this wild card, so to speak, Donald Trump, and he's out there and he's talking about different things, and he says things, and people come out and they say they like Trump because he is saying the things that they are scared to say. And Michelle says, you're so right on that, but also because there is no censor. Ah, that's interesting. I guess I overlooked that one, right? Everything is censored. There is what we call politically correct, and Donald Trump doesn't care. Doesn't care about the censors. Okay, this is what it is. I don't need to be politically correct. You know, this is the way I'm going to call it. I'm going to call the shots. I have my own money. I don't have to play up to anybody else. I'm going to do it this way. And people are tuned into that. There is no censor. And that's exactly the point. When I went into the whole Jesus Christ superstar story, yes, Judas basically can talk for us in his appeal to God, in his questioning of God, because there is no censor. He's already condemned. He's already damned for all life, right? So Judas becomes, you remember last week I was talking about it, I was sharing with you some of the questions that all of us think about but might be too embarrassed to ask. So thank you. Yes, Michelle, you're absolutely right. There is no censor in the Judas question because it's already taken care of. It was a good observation. Let's see, a lot of stuff going on in the world. And why am I picking on the lottery? Because, well, like I said, two incredible events happened that you won't believe. Can't believe that these things happened beyond winning a lottery. So this morning we woke up and the lottery had been won by three people in the United States. Yesterday, they were showing pictures of people in lines. I guess you all know wherever you are in the world, you know that in America there is a gambling capital known as Las Vegas. It is known worldwide. People come from all over the world to it. Yesterday, the Powerball was going to be played in Nevada. The state in which Las Vegas is in is one of the few states that doesn't have the Powerball lottery. I believe it's something like out of the 50 states, 6 or 8 states do not participate in this Powerball lottery. And so Nevada is one of them. So Nevada's on our border. We've driven through there many, many times. And if you go there, there's a town right on the border of California and Nevada. So I guess gamblers who have an itch will just drive up to that town and play there. But this time it was the opposite way, because in that same town, it's right on the border, and there is one small little 7-Eleven convenient store that's on the California side. So basically, if you want to play the lottery in Nevada, you have to go up to this one little 7-Eleven store that happens to be right on the California side. And I've seen it. I mean, I bought a cup of coffee from that place, if I remember right. It's there's nothing else. It's just right on the border. It's one street, and there it is. It's a 7-Eleven store. And then right across the street is Nevada, and there's the gambling casinos and so on. So people were lined up at that 7-Eleven on the California side at the tune of 4 to 4.5 hours standing in line to play the Powerball Lotto. Because what happened is in Nevada, you can't play it. So people from Las Vegas, not only the Las Vegas residents, but all of the visitors from different countries had heard about the Powerball. So they were in Las Vegas for their pleasure, for their entertainment. And then they took a drive over to the border to that small little area and 4.5 hour wait in line to play the Powerball. And this morning they said that 1.5 billion dollars was the amount, and three people have claimed it. So yes, there was even some mathematicians who were doing the math and saying, well, if you buy every combination, you know, you're going to be spending to the tune of something like $300 million. So you might get your money back, but that's on the proviso that you're the only one who wins. But see, what happens if three people, four people win, right? Then you got to split it. And then when you pay your taxes, and then when you take it in a lump sum, there's so many calculations. Oh, what could be worse? That's coming up in the second portion of today's show. You know, what's going on in the world is very concerning, because as far as when we look at it the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, you look at so much of the world is really being defined by different religious sentiments. And it's interesting, no matter where you go politically, somehow that religion is creeping up into it. And I don't know what the reason is that it has escalated so much lately. Is it because of the fanaticism? Is it because of post 9/11 events and the rise of militant Islam? There was a lot of interesting things that actually, if you listen to President Obama's last State of the Union speech, interesting point that he makes, and I concur with him on this one. He says that as Americans, there's the idea that you are not judged on your belief system, and you cannot place. That kind of judgment on people. And this is a tough one. It is a really, really tough one when you look at it, because there is the truth of it that today, when you look at it, Islam, militant Islam, extreme Islam is the culprit in these terrorist situations. They're very prominent. But to judge an entire religion, and I have a hard time with it too, because it's so much easier to just go ahead and just say, oh, well, you know, it's not working, right? I mean, I do that to Christianity. I do that to Armenian Orthodoxy, right? I say it's not working. Something's wrong. We need to be able to change. But it's different when you do it to yourself. It's different when you point your finger to somebody else and say that they have problems there. Yeah, they're the ones who need to basically figure that out. Does it work for me? No, it doesn't work for me. They, you know, their religion is fine with them. If it works for them, that's okay. But for me, it doesn't work. Okay, I could say that. But to say that it is wrong across the board, well, the militant aspect of it, no matter what religion it is, whether it's Islam, whether it's Christianity, the fundamentalism. I've spoken many, many times here on The Next Step about fundamentalism. The idea that this is it, and I can't see beyond those borders. This is dangerous, and it is becoming very, very prevalent in the world today, no matter what people are talking about. You take a look at some of the headlines that are just occupying our life right now. Let me just read a few of them. The Hindu right is quietly funding and lobbying American universities. The Hindu right? Did you even know that existed? Okay, here's a guy. He's written about mortal sin deserves the everlasting punishment of hell. Starting a new journal. Yeah, he's talking about this kind of stuff. Because, hey, it wasn't enough that we talk about God of love. He talks about it growing up. Where it was more, where he heard more about the devil than he did about Jesus. More about hate than he heard about love. And now maybe there is a value in that. Natalie Cole, famous singer, daughter of Nat King Cole. I happened to be at a funeral at Forest Lawn the other day here in Los Angeles. And as I was leaving, I saw ABC News cameraman up there. I stopped and I said, "What's going on?" And he says, "Oh, Natalie Cole's funeral's taking place." And the religious aspect of it, the religious dimension of it, was very interesting. Here's an interesting one. President Obama's tenure has been more Christian than his critics will ever admit. Huffington Post article. And then you've got the usual ones that, you know, people love to read about. Christian preacher, "I moved clouds and stopped a typhoon because I have authority over the weather." Okay, so you've got a wide gamut of all these things. People proclaiming different things. People subtly proclaiming their faith. Where do you fit in all of this? And as I said, how do those odds stack up? Well, I'm going to be sharing some ideas with you now. Right after the song of the day. I picked out a really special song of the day. Not your usual stuff. It's going to be from a group called Cream. Now, you got to be an old guy, a fossil like me, to know who this group is. It had some most incredible musicians in there, including Eric Clapton, which I know most of you have probably heard. But it did have two other incredible musicians, which if you didn't put to the mix with Eric Clapton, it just wouldn't have been the magic that it was. One of them is Ginger Baker. I don't know how to describe it. You listen to some of his drumming. I really don't know. You listen to it and it's just wild because the drumming itself is, it's syncopation. It's beats in the most oddest of forms that actually play out a melody. And on that same line, the bassist, Jack Bruce, just passed away last year. An incredible singer. What a beautiful voice. Incredible singer. And he played the bass melodically. Not just your boom, 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 but he played bass. Anyway, I'm going to play a song called Stormy Monday, I think it's called, T-Bone Walker Blues. And this is Cream doing this at their concert just a few years ago. They did a reunion concert. Now, why I picked this out for today? As I'm listening to it, he's talking about Sunday. And he goes into a Lord have mercy. He says, on Sunday, he says, I sing, Lord have mercy. I thought to myself, wow, Armadoxy, right? Are you with me now? Armadoxy. What is Lord have mercy? Deir Vormia. And I started singing it. I'm in the car listening to this, and I'm started singing, Deir Vormia. Wow. That's what we need to do. We need to get that out there. Okay, so you see where I'm going with all of this? How do we get to the lottery? We're going to be talking about the lottery and worse odds than the lottery in Armenian Orthodoxy. Well, we need a segue, and that segue happens to be Cream. Enjoy this.
Sunday I go to church. kneel down and pray. This is what I say. On me. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy on me. Somebody send a homie. Lord have mercy on me. Lord have mercy.
I came home the other night playing this. It was blasting in the car, and I'm just like singing the devil. I called my whole family out. It was raining outside. It was like, it was cold outside. My poor daughter-in-law who studied opera. She's an opera singer on top of everything else. I said, you got to come out and hear this. And we're sitting around the car. And I go, you know what this is? This is Devormia. Lord have mercy. And listen to the plea, Lord have mercy. Anyway, that is Cream off of their concert album a couple years ago. I will have a link on today's show notes to not only this song, but their entire album, their entire repertoire. Really one of the fantastic groups of the late 60s during my formative years. In just three players, they filled up an auditorium. They filled up a concert hall, which is some beautiful music. If you ever get into it, it's really wild. It's a little bit more than just, what people say that it is. You got to take some time and really just close your eyes and listen to the melodies that are being played, not only with the guitar, Eric Clapton over there, but with the bass and with the drums. And when you think about it, these three musicians coming together and filling up with so much music along with voice, it's magic. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it. Well, leading up to the $1.5 billion lottery, there were so many articles about, well, why you shouldn't play. I mean, like, the odds are just against you. And like I said earlier, somebody even got up. It was a mathematician, a statistician. He got up and he said that, it's the same odds whether you play or you don't. It's true. It's zero odds either way, okay? There's a slight chance. 1 in 300 million chance. Well, people came out with lists. And that's what prompted me to do this segment today. What if I had a list, not of things that are more likely to happen, but less likely to happen? And how about if I told you that those less likely things happened to me this week? Yeah, worse odd than the lottery, but they hit me. Okay, so let me share with you some of them. There was all kinds of lists, and you could do a Google search. I'll just read a few of them for you. This is off of a reviewjournal.com article. It's about 20 things more likely to happen to you than winning the lottery. Okay, they're going to tell you these things will happen to you. Being crushed by the meteorite. Okay. You have a 1 in 700,000 chance, as opposed to 1 in 300 million. You have a 1 in 700,000 chance of being crushed by a meteorite. Contracting the Ebola virus is more likely. You have a 1 in 13 million as opposed to 1 in 300 million. Becoming the next Warren Buffett, dying in a plane crash. It's 1 in 1 million, okay? It's more likely than that. Being canonized as saints. What are the odds here? Let's see, 1 in 20 million. Getting audited, oh, that's a bad one, 1 in 175. Being the United States president, there's a 1 in 10 million chance that you can become the president. Somebody's figured that out. Being wrongfully committed, convicted of a crime, becoming a movie star, dying from being a left-handed person who misuses right-handed products. Don't laugh, apparently that happens in 1 in 7 million people. Which is about 45 Americans. Somebody's figured that out. Dying from being a left-handed person who misuses right-handed products. Isn't that interesting, huh? Somebody's figured that out. Writing a New York bestseller. Becoming an astronaut. Losing an appendage in a chainsaw accident. 1 in 4,000 chances. I shouldn't laugh. That's horrible. Oh, this is horrible. Death by hot tap water. Scalding demise. Okay, you open the tap water and it's so hot that you die. 1 in 5 million people. It happens more often than winning the lottery. Being deemed possessed by Satan. Wow. Going to the ER with a pogo stick related injury. Oh, I can't even think about that one. Okay. Winning an Olympic gold medal, winning an Oscar, having a genius child, having conjoined twins, 1 in 200,000. Okay, so these are all the things that are more likely to happen. How about if I told you a couple things that happened to me this week that were less likely to happen? Okay, let's start off with some good news, okay? This one was a good one. Actually, both of them are good. This one is a dear friend of mine. He's was the godfather of my ordination, and his son got engaged. And he asked if I would engage, do the ceremony where I blessed their rings. And absolutely, I love this man. We grew up together, and absolutely. So went to it, and I met not only his grown-up son, but I also met his lovely fiance. Now, I blessed their rings. And what is so surprising about this? Is that this was a miracle, right? Think about it for a moment. Here is an Armenian young man in America, 100 years removed from a genocide that was supposed to leave no Armenians. Wow. Yeah, 100 years ago, the Turks said, you know, we will destroy, we will eliminate, and that's why we call this a genocide. Eliminating the gene pool. In other words, suicide is killing the self. Homicide is killing another human being. Genocide, killing off the gene pool. We will eliminate every Armenian in the world. And in fact, one Turkish leader gets up and says, there will only be one Armenian left, and that Armenian will be in a museum. Okay, now, this Armenian kid, 100 years later, decides to get married to this Armenian girl and create a new Armenian family. What are the odds of that happening? You like that? That's worse odds than the lottery, but it happened. That's what a miracle is. That's worse odds than the lottery, because it wasn't supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be there. It's impossible. They decided genocide. It's over. And yet 100 years later, an Armenian heart beats, and it beats love. It beats respect, and it reaches out to another Armenian heart, which is beating love, which is beating respect. And they extend their arms to one another, and they find love there. Now you tell me. That's not supposed to happen, right? And it did. What do you call that, a miracle? You call that beating the odds? I definitely do. I think it is a miracle of miracles. I don't think that this was supposed to happen. The plan wasn't there. Two Armenians weren't supposed to find each other, but they did. Now, what are the odds of that? That, to me, is a bigger one than the lottery. I think we won on that one, don't you? See, I mean, it's in the way we look at that. And to me, that's a bigger thing than any amount of money that will be inside your pocket. Yes, even $1 billion. What are you going to do with $1 billion? Think about it for a moment. No, this is not sour grapes. This is not because I didn't win. What would I do with it? Think about it. Okay, you know, you could think about what you'd do with a couple million. Okay, you'd pay off your mortgage. You'd pay off your kids' loans. You'd just make sure they go to school. You'd give them a few million and say, okay, don't bother me. Here, buy a car. After you buy a house, you buy a car. What else are you going to do? You have to help out. You have to do stuff with that money. I mean, this is what the big players are finding out, right? Whether it's Warren Buffett, whether it's the Bill Gates, the Melissa Gates Foundation, and all the big players right now, right? They're finding out that there has to be some philanthropic arm to all of this wealth. You can't spend this kind of money. And everybody you hear out there, right? What are you going to do if you win? Well, I will go and help out. I will do this. I will that. Of course, it's built into the equation. You kind of got to do this. But what I shared with you, this story of two hearts finding each other in a world that said that there was no room for you to find each other, that to me is a big miracle. And that to me is worse odds than the lottery, but it happened. They hit the lottery. This couple hit the lottery that day. Story number two took place yesterday. I was called to officiate at a Diramayr funeral. What is a Diramayr? Diramayr is the mother of a priest. It's a unique name that is given to the mother of a priest. Dir comes from the word der. It's the word for the priest or lord. And Maid is mother. So Diramayr in Armenian is the mother of the priest. And it's a unique position within the community because you've given your son to the church, to the service of the church, to the service of God, ultimately, if you will. But there is a respect that goes with it. I have a Diramayr. I'm thankful that my Diramayr is still with us. And actually, her and the lady who passed away had a small little club, the Diramayr's Club. They never proclaimed it. But if you were on the outskirts, you'd say there was, because every feast day they would call each other and congratulate each other on that day. In other words, Shnoravorank. Congratulate doesn't really translate well, but they would call each other and they would share that, you know, they had this unique bond as being Diramayr. So yesterday I was at this funeral, and it was a very small funeral. It was a Diramayr who had gone through quite a bit, struggles with her family, with her unique set of circumstances, and had arrived in America and where her son was serving as a priest. And this is what happened. I want to just share this story with you and show you why it's worse odds than the lottery, but it happened, okay? So it was last week, and I got a call, and Diramayr is on her last breaths. Would you go to the hospital and please administer last rites or the Holy Communion? And so I go out to the hospital, and there she is with a few people, her family around her. And she's got this equipment on her face that prevents us from seeing whether she's conscious or not. So I asked, I said, is she conscious? Can she receive Holy Communion? Yes, she is. But as long as this equipment and this breathing apparatus is on her face, she's unable to breathe on her own. And we would have to take off this breathing apparatus for a brief moment while we administered the communion. She would wake up, she would be able to take the confession, she would receive the Holy Communion, and then they'd put the breathing apparatus back on. And you realize that you have a few moments at that time to be able to make contact, conscious contact. And you're not sure what's going to happen on the other end, right? You're not sure if she's going to be able to respond to you, what's going to be the thing, what's going to be the reaction. So there's a lot of questions that go on in your head. And through the years, as being a priest longer and longer, you realize that there are certain things that you have to leave to and trust to God. And they are beyond your control. And you realize you've been called at this moment, and you are standing there in this hospital room, and you have the sacred sacrament, the body and blood of Christ. You have that, and you have this sacred obligation to administer this Holy Communion to a person. But that person has to be receptive to it, that means he or she has to be conscious. So we are at that moment right now. And so I say, okay, let's take off the mask. And I looked over to her. I said, "Dear Amide, this is Deadhide." Now, this was miracle number one that happened that day. Completely out of it, unconscious. She opened her eyes. She looked straight at me. And in her toothless mouth, I guess they'd taken the dentures out. You know how what happens when you take the dentures out? They become more caved in. The biggest smile you can ever imagine. It lit up the entire room. It lit up the entire room to the extent that the people in the bed next door kind of understood what was going on. And they peeked over, and the man said, "Oh, Deadeye, you're here. You know, we're in Glendale. We got a lot of Armenian. Deadeye, would you please come over to us afterwards, you know?" Now, it's you could tell that something really, really special is happening at this moment. Giant, giant smile. I said, "Dear Amide, I've come here to give you the Holy Communion." Now, the smile that I got from her was the smile of somebody who understood that she was on her last breaths. But you know what she was receiving? The sacred sacrament. She was being united with her Lord. She was being united with Jesus Christ at that moment. And she understood it, and there was no doubt in her head. That's what she wanted. So we read the passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. "Do not be worried. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not, I would not tell you that I go to prepare a place for you. Do not be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And one of the disciples, Thomas, asks, "Lord, how do we know where you're going? How do we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me." And I read this. And then I read the confession. "I confess in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." I had administered the Holy Communion, and she took it. She took it, and she was at peace. She found her peace, and it was okay at that point. She made the sign of the cross. Now, they put the mask back on, and it was a day later that I got the call that she had passed away, and like I said, yesterday was the funeral. Now, you say, okay, well, then that's a nice little event that takes place in a Glendale hospital at night, but what does that have to do with odds, and why is this so unusual? Many people have come to faith, especially in their dying hours. Many people will express their faith rather demonstratively, right? So what's the unique thing that you're talking about? Here's the unique thing. Yesterday, when we had the funeral, it was a small funeral, and I asked her son, my brother in Christ, who had come out for the funeral, obviously for his mother's funeral, and I said, "Is there a biography? Is there something?" And he says, "No, Deadhide, it's just us." I said, "Okay, well, if there's no biography, I do need to share with them some of my thoughts. And what do you say about somebody like this?" Well, I spoke from the heart, and what came out I didn't expect. Because to me, this woman's passing was not a loss just for the family, but it was the loss for all of us. Because the world is diminished by some such person as her, who really displayed that faith. When you look at her life, born in 1929, coming from Cyprus, I think it was, when you come from the Middle East, you go back into Armenia during the Stalinist era. You know, Stalin had called in, there was the Haydn Atars back in the 1940s, 47, 48. People were fooled into going back to Armenia, thinking that they were going to get land, they were going to get a new chance at life. They were being drawn in after the genocide, okay? Genocide happens 1915 up until 1920. These people are exodusing and going into these Muslim countries in the Middle East. And then in the 1940s, some 20, 25 years later, they're getting a call from Armenia. Come back to Armenia. We will give you home. And it was a ploy. It was a way of populating the country. And they came there to starvation, to political unrest, many of them being sent to Siberia, many of them being put through so much torture. And, of course, communism, of course, atheism, churches closed down, no way of proclaiming your faith. And here is a woman that, in the midst of all this, who has every reason to complain to God, has every reason to turn her back to God, right? I mean, somebody who goes through all this torture, all this difficulty, all this imprisonment, all this immigration situation, everything. Somebody like that, you know, said that I don't believe in God. You'd say, yeah, you know, I can understand. But how about when somebody says all these things and I'm still going to make the sign of the cross. I'm still going to smile. I'm still going to light up because Jesus Christ is entering into my body right now. You tell me, what are the odds of that happening? Isn't that remarkable? That's miracle. That's an example for us. Shared with you many times, this generation of people, I call them the God generation. They had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. And they made something. That's what God did. Took absolutely nothing and made something. Created life, right? Same thing with this generation. Absolutely nothing after the genocide and created life. And gave their children to the service of God, to the service of the world. What's the odds of that happening? I mean, think about it. Get in your car today and drive through some traffic. How many times do you swear at these people who cut you off? How many times do you, you know what we call that? We call that stress. We have stress in our lives. And stress isn't good. You know who had stress? These people. They left everything. They left country. They left family. They started brand new. Not once, not twice, not thrice. They continued to start brand new. And never gave up on God. What are the chances of that happening? It happened. So, there you go. Two incidences, worse odds than the lottery, but two people that hit it in the same week. You like that? These are the stories that keep me going. I hope that you can look at some of these things. These stories that I share with you here are inspirations in my life. They have to be inspirations in all of our lives because we're just too clouded with some of the things that don't matter. This woman who passed away, I consider probably one of the richest women in the world. She had the real treasures, the treasure of the heart. Because what you got in your pocket, you can't take with you. But what you leave to this world is a true treasure. It's the treasure of the heart. It's the love that you've shared with other people. And that one is a lasting treasure, which Jesus says that moths cannot take, thieves cannot take away, they won't deteriorate, they live forever. It's what it means when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through love. And when you express this love, you can't lose. It's a winning proposition. Worse odds than the lottery. But if you do it, it's a bigger payout. How's that? Here's Susie to tell you how you can pay into the system. Oh, that was a cheap shot, huh?
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all for participating in this ministry, for sharing your prayers, your donations. They go a long way, and I know I took a cheap shot earlier by saying you got to get involved, but you know what? It does take money. It does take resources to get this word out, and if you find a value in it, we appreciate you sharing and becoming part of this ministry. We have made some definite changes. I want to believe that, you know, we are following a call that is out there. We realize that this ministry is so vital to reaching out, especially to the disenfranchised. We hear more and more every day about people who are just, it's just not working out. It's just not working out when you have so much hoopla. And yet we have a beautiful, one that I shared with you today. I mean, look at the things that we talked about today. Armadoxy should be those things. It should be, that's what Armadoxy is. It talks to the situations of the world. It takes the ancient and it connects the dots with what's going on right now. There's a lottery. There's a Powerball. The whole world is talking about it. And yet we sit around and we talk about something ancient. Well, you got to make the connection, right? And the connection is not about some kind of contrived thing, but it's right in front of us. Look at the two miracles that happened. Two hearts speaking to each other 100 years after a genocide. A woman who does not give up her faith despite all the tragedies, despite all the difficulties, despite all the imprisonments, the atheism and all that, makes it. And thanks God. Shouldn't we be putting our fingers on these situations and marking them as these unique, powerful situations that change us, that need to change us, that become the inspiration? And that's what the inspiration of Armadoxy needs to be. Not about just some ancient stories, but connecting the dots with life today. And that's what we do. That's what the Next Step is all about. That's what In His Shoes is all about. It's about walking in the shoes of others. Why? Because we've had a past that has been filled with difficulties. Now, we are at this point. We're at a point where we need to step it up. And we do have some big projects ahead of us. And it is through those donations. It is through your love offerings that these things become possible. So I do make that point. I do believe that it is God directing us in the sense that, just as I said earlier, that the name of God, as Nerses Shnor Ali tells us, is love. I think it is love that is directing us. I don't want to make it any more grandiose than that. It is love. It is a love for people. It is a love for humanity that really drives us, that says that you need to get this message out because you know it works. It has a track record, and it does work. It is not fanaticism. It is really a message of peace and hope and love. Does the world need it? Yes, it does. Let's get it out. So I leave you with those thoughts today and ask you to be generous in your giving, in your offerings. You can do so by going to In His Shoes, pressing on the donate button, or you can just drop us a check at St. Peter Armenian Church, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California. Make sure 91202. Make sure you label it for Apostle or Indian Jews. And that brings us to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. Do connect with us during the week. You can drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. And, of course, join us on the mothership inissues.org. And, of course, we're all over Facebook. Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.